May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 939. Jesus, immutably the same, thou true and living vine, around thy all-supporting stem my feeble arms I twine. Hymn 939.
Reading together from the Word of God, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27. We'll read from verse 9 down to verse 37. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27. We'll read from verse 9 down to verse 37. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they may attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the south, southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. When they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under colour as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. When he had thus spoken, he took bread, and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. When he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship, 260 souls. Amen to that word of truth, and may the Lord help us to seek him at the throne of grace. O Lord, we come before thee once more upon another Lord's Day. In thy providence, thy care, thy goodness towards us, watching over us, going before us in the way, preserving us unto thyself, we thank thee, Lord, that we are come to this day, that we may be helped to take knowledge of thy wondrous grace towards us. O Lord, we have confessed many times and shall do to the end of our days that thou art better towards us than whatever we deserve. But oh, we do pray, Lord, for those true, humble, contrite spirit at this time, that we might be helped to give praise and blessing to thy name for all the wonders of thy goodness towards us, preserving us and bringing us to another Lord's Day and to the house of thy prayer. And Lord, it is our mercy, or that thou wouldest appear unto us, or that we may each be found in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We pray thee with desire and affections towards thy name, but truly being helped to worship thee at thy feet, and praying, Lord, that in a very real and personal way, that thou wilt appear unto each one of us, Lord, to draw our hearts and our minds effectually unto thyself, that we might be helped and enabled to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And Lord, as we come before thee, Lord, we are conscious of the hymn that we began with this morning, Lord. Without thee, we can do nothing, cannot lift up a good desire, a good thought, cannot feel any warmth of love towards thee, Lord. Cannot, Lord, seek thee, Lord, or turn to thee in any way, unless, Lord, we are found bound up in that living vine, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then only shall we be those true branches which shall spring forth and bear fruit unto righteousness. And, O Lord, we do pray that as we come to the means of grace this morning, we may each be helped to bear those fruits unto righteousness, or that there may, through thy Spirit, be a blessed and glorious drawing of our hearts to thee in true worship, and that we may be able, Lord, to take knowledge of thee as that true and living vine, and whereof, Lord, thy people live and have life and have it more abundantly. And we do need, Lord, we pray thee, thy quickening grace to come upon us, to lift up our poor minds above all things here below. Lord, the many things that are in our life and circumstance, and thou knowest, Lord, even though we come into the means of grace, Lord, these things come in and upon us, Lord, and our poor hearts are drawn away from thee. Thou knowest, Lord, even when in the pews of thy house. Oh, we do pray, Lord, Draw us effectually unto thyself, that we may know thee again this day, that thou art the God of our salvation. Oh, we want to know, Lord, something about the blessedness and the glory of what it is to be one of thy children, being drawn out and from this world and all its cares and concerns. But, Lord, most blessedly and gloriously translated into thy kingdom from darkness to light, we pray thee. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to work in us each, we pray thee, to will and to do of thy good pleasure. And Lord, let it be thy good pleasure, Lord, to reveal and manifest thyself to us, that thou alone art the Saviour of sinners. And Lord, to know that will be our greatest mercy and our greatest blessing, in that, Lord, thou hast taught us and shown to us our need as sinners. And Lord, what if we should gain the whole world and lose our own souls? Oh Lord, be unto us precious this day as that one thing needful to our never dying immortal souls. Oh, may we each know, Lord, this day what it is truly to seek after thee, and to know thee, Lord, not only by a head knowledge, Lord, we pray thee, but, Lord, by and through thy Spirit and grace, and that thou wilt be revealed to us personally, Lord, that thou art our Saviour, our Redeemer, and our friend. Lord, it is a great mercy to come to any poor sinner here below, found in the wreckage and the ruin of the fall, found dead in trespasses and in sins. Oh, what a great mercy, Lord, to be one of that remnant of grace that should be loved, that should be chosen, that should be called, and that should be gathered in. Oh, this, Lord, is the mercy indeed. Lord, to be one of that number, Jacob, have I loved, Esau, have I hated. Oh, the great divide that is between each one, Lord. Oh, may it be that each here, Lord, the eldest to the youngest, may know the blessedness of what it is to be a true seeker in Zion, and to behold in Jesus alone and in none other, that through him indeed is life and salvation and redemption through his blood, the pardon, the forgiveness of all sin. O Lord, do come to us each, Lord. And if there be any, Lord, unconcerned, or perhaps, Lord, neglectful or careless in respect of their great need, we do pray that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to begin that work of grace, he that hath begun a good work in you. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come, Lord, in the riches of thy grace, and Lord, reveal thyself in thy power, Lord, and make souls willing in the day of thy power, we pray thee. Oh, what glorious blessings are found in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a mercy it is to seek and desire to know Jesus in that gospel, the good news of salvation. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt come then in thy rich mercy, that none here, Lord, shall be left unmoved, Lord, or unconcerned in respect of their great need of salvation. So, Lord, do come, and We pray, come to each one of us. We each have come to the means of grace. We each have differing needs, differing concerns. We are each walking out the path that thou hast ordained for us, Lord. And oh, we do pray that we may be helped to go forth in that way and path. And though, Lord, there may be those afflictions and trials and tribulations that are found in this way and path for us here below, and yet, Lord, to regard thee that nothing cometh by chance, Lord, in respect of thy dear people. But, O Lord, there is a purpose of grace, Lord, when thou wilt appear to each and every one of thy people, and afflictions and trials, sicknesses, diseases, and difficulties, Lord, come into the way and path of thy people. But, O Lord, to draw them to thyself, Lord, oh, to bring them, Lord, to the sinner's friend, to bring them, Lord, at the mercy seat, and where mercy's door is always open for the poor, the sick, the tried, the tempted, and the afflicted of thy people. Oh, that they're not brought to any loss indeed, in respect that there is one indeed always ready to come to the help to thy people, one always ready to intercede for them at the throne of grace, and one indeed who knoweth their needs, and whose care and keeping is always upon and towards his dear people. O Lord, we do pray that thou wilt, Lord, be pleased to appear this day to each of thy people, and Lord, comfort them out of Zion, and draw near to their needs at this time, we pray, and be all sufficient unto them, Lord, and help them, Lord, to put all their trust, all their confidence in thee, Lord. Oh, there was a day, Lord, when they were burdened and tried in respect of sin and iniquity and guilt upon the conscience, Lord, and they resorted to thee, Lord, and sought that mercy through thy cross, and thou didst appear for them. And so now, Lord, as troubles and trials continue, oh, help them to trust in that name that delivered them from all their sins and iniquities, we pray thee, Lord, and to be submissive to thee. So, Lord, do come to each of thy people, Lord, who seek thee, Lord, in respect of their needs here below. Do, Lord, then undertake for each and every one of us, keep us, preserve us to thyself, and watch over us, we pray thee, in all our way and path here below. We do pray, Lord, be with thy people here as they gather together week by week in thy name. May it be indeed a blessing to their souls to be able to turn aside, to come to the means of grace and worship at thy feet, and in particular, Lord, at the prayer meetings. Oh, we pray, Lord, that it shall not be a meeting that is neglected, and that many think that it is not a meeting for them. Oh, Lord, it is only by and through prayer, indeed, that we shall ever know thy mercy. And, Lord, what seasons are indeed in respect of the prayer meetings, poor needy sinners communicating unto the God of heavens and the Lord of hosts indeed, one that is able to hear them and one that is able to come to them. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that the prayer meetings may be well attended. Lord, we pray thee. So, Lord, do be with thy people that gather together here. Keep them a little company, faithful to thy cause and thy truth. And we do pray, Lord, that there may be yet those that shall come forth bear testimony and witness to thy saving grace in their souls. So, Lord, we prayerfully commit these things into thy hands. Lord, may the gospel have free course this day. Oh, we do pray, Lord, and thank thee, Lord, that we have a liberty to be able to come together in this nation of ours. Do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with each gathering. We pray thee and help each of thy sent servants, that they may be helped to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ this day. And bless Zion, Lord, comfort thy people, Lord, in that way needful to them at this time, and in particular that thy word may be seasonable, profitable to their souls, to edify them, to build them up, Lord, in their faith and love to thee, but to be able to embrace the scriptures of truth and the gracious promises of a God in covenant with his people. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt draw near to each gathering, and then, Lord, help and enable thy servants to proclaim the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, use them as instruments of usefulness in thy hands this day. And O Lord, that thy word indeed may be made precious to the souls of thy people, revealing a precious Christ in all his offices and characters to his people, being enabled to come to all their needs. O Lord, do help thy servant, Lord. We seek, Lord, that thou wilt speak through him thy word and thy truth. Put thy rich treasure of thy gospel grace into his earthen vessel, Lord, and be pleased, Lord, to speak through him. And we do pray that thy servant indeed may be nothing, and Christ raised up and set forth in the gospel as our all and everything, looking only unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So, Lord, we ask these mercies with the pardon and the forgiveness of all our sins, and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 708. As when a child secure of harms hangs at the mother's breast, safe folded in her anxious arms, receiving food and rest. Hymn 708.
Thank you.
help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your prayerful attention to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, and reading together from verse 23 and 24. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27, reading from verse 23 and 24. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Paul was going to be brought into another experience, where that he spake to Ananias and said that he must suffer many things for my name's sake. And it is a great mercy that when we are indeed brought to suffer trials and afflictions and troubles, infirmities, bodily, outwardly, enemies without, then those mightier ones within. But what a mercy it is that we have one indeed who will always stand by his people. Paul never went forth anywhere without the Lord was present with him. And we understand in this experience, in respect of the calamity that came upon them in the beginning, as shown to us in this chapter, everything was calm. Everyone would have been at peace in their minds, settled in their minds, that they were going across the waters by ship. There didn't seem to be anything there to trouble them or disturb them in respect of that voyage. The voyage began well. But dear friends, we don't know what a day may bring forth, do we? We don't know what an hour might bring forth, do we? And neither was this happening with this ship. Was it in their knowledge at all? No. They thought and believed that they would come comfortably safe to the end of their journey. And we might each one of us, as we journey and go forth, be under the same knowledge or the same understanding, that we shall come safely to the end or to the close of our journey. No, we do not know what a day may bring forth, dear friends. But what a mercy it is to be able to go forth in the Lord's name. What was the mercy that Job could say? He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. You see, isn't it a mercy to go forth in that way? That the Lord knows all about us. That the Lord has everything under his care, his control, and his management and government, you see. And that is how we must go forth here below, dear friends, waiting continually upon the Lord. And so I do believe that as those things came upon the ship, and the tempestuous winds and so forth, that they were those indeed, in respect of Paul, looking only unto the Lord, depending wholly upon him, trusting alone in his name. And we may begin to fret, dear friends. I may have mentioned to you before, I don't know, but I went on a fishing trip on one occasion from Newquay, and the waters were quite calm and quite satisfactory. But within a half an hour of being found out in the ocean, as it were, the call went out. No shipping to go out. A wind had come up and stirred up the waters. And I believe this truth, dear friends, it was a faithful thing when we were returning. Yes, the waves towered over the little ship, but it was the experience of the captain, and how when the waves were rising up, he cut his engine so that the boat rode over the waves and so forth. No, one moment everything seemed to be well, and not long afterwards seemed to be quite unwell. What a mercy it is. I've thought of it many times. The Lord is that one indeed. He's merciful, kind and gracious. And he will keep and preserve his people, is the mercy. But they will be looking up to him. Oh, they will be looking up to him, yes. Seeking him. And he's always at hand. That is what I believe Paul here did, committed everything into the hands of his Lord. We do not know the outcome, dear friends, of these things, but the Lord does, and it is a mercy to be able to come to him and to be able, with some frame of mind, to be settled that everything is with him concerning his dear people, is the mercy. And so Paul here bidding each and every one to be of good cheer. It's a difficult, isn't it? When there's a fear of the loss of life, and how with it trembling and that can come in and upon us, that can bring us, dear friends, into frightening circumstances. But be of good cheer, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. It was the angel of God, dear friends, but particularly it was his God. And the angel came to Paul, gave him the message and so forth, but it was his God, you see. The angel of God. Those immaterial spirits that always go forth at the command of God to the help and the comfort of his dear people in times, particularly of providence, times of great trouble. But it was to show to him clearly that his God was with him, near at hand. And it is something always to remember in the time of our troubles. And if they come in and upon us in a moment, dear friends, don't just look at the trouble. Come to this God. He is that one, dear friends, that is in everything. He knoweth the way that I take. For there stood by me this night the angel of God. I do believe that maybe an instance here that Paul was brought upon praying ground in respect of this ship and the loss and all that were on board. I do believe that Paul would prayerfully commit everything to the Lord. Everything. All these souls here that were upon this ship. Isn't it true that the ministers of the gospel watch for the souls of sinners, and particularly of his people? For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. This is a great mercy, isn't it? Whose I am. It's like belonging and owning whose I am. And it wasn't, dear friends, on any part of Paul that he could say this. It wasn't anything in himself. No. Why? See the man going forth on the Damascus road. See him. He was a messenger of Satan, dear friends. He was carrying evil tidings, persecuting the church and therefore persecuting Jesus. He was a man, dear friend, bearing all malice and evil and wickedness in his heart. He was determined to destroy the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring it to naught. And then what a wonderful mercy. Whose I am. I just thought of that word in Isaiah 43. For I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. Oh, what a mercy that is, dear friends, in respect of Saul of Tarsus. Whose I am, thou art mine. You see, it's a wonderful truth, isn't it? Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What a mercy, thou art mine. To this man, such a rebel, evil and wicked man. And dear friends, let us see here the heart by nature. It's at enmity with God. All that God had done and wrought in Jesus and in his gospel, he was at enmity with it. And now, the glorious change. I think of whose I am and whom I belong is divinely owned. Whose I am. For we're not our own. Isn't that the truth? We're not our own. Isn't it true that the church have been bought with a price? Isn't it free grace that is shown clearly to us here? Free, sovereign grace that we're not our own, that we haven't been left to continue on our own, in our own sad state and condition by nature. I thought of the wonderful word of adoption. A wonderful word that, dear friends, adoption. Very solemn to be born into this world and to be born in sin, shapen in iniquity and come forth from the womb speaking lies. The psalmist understood the truth of that. But it belongs to every one of us by nature. And then this wonderful truth here. The glorious change. The sovereign love and grace and mercy of our God to some. Of lost mankind. And to Paul, this one here, who can now, by and through a witness of the grace and power of God in Jesus and his cross at Calvary, can say, whose I am, whom I belong. Oh, see the blessedness and the influence and the power of the cross of Jesus. See the glorious change, dear friends, wrought within the soul. I thought of that time and season that in respect of Onesimus, and he was one indeed who, he had sinned and offended against Philemon, but it says here in Philemon verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Begotten. And it wasn't Paul that begot him. It was his ministry and the gospel that he preached. This is the blessing that came to Onesimus. I know the providence of God led the dear man to where Paul was in his hired house in Rome. That is true. But he preached the word. And it began to change him. He began to see the awfulness of his sins and what he had done. And then the manner of his life. And when sin is revealed, we will be brought to see that in some measure, some in great measure. The Holy Spirit will bring to the light of day, to the light of conscience, dear friends, all the evil and the wickedness of our hearts. But what is the blessed and glorious truth of this? That God began with him. Where did he begin with him? In covenant love, before time began. And in the fullness of time, to meet with him is the mercy. Begotten. What a wonderful word that is. I've begotten him in my bonds. And so the man, grace came upon him. Grace began to change him. And grace showed to him God's love, God's choice of him, even though he was a sinner. And then we see here the glorious path of regeneration, that glorious change in the heart, where the sinner will be divinely wrought upon, renewed, made sensible of their sins and iniquities, brought to confession and repentance before a holy and a righteous God. Oh, what mercy, dear friends, is held out to one here whose I am. Begotten. And then the blessing and the truth of being begotten. It's in this, isn't it? Brought to know that there is a way, that sin can be put away, sin can be dealt with, sin can be hidden. And it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I do believe that everyone begotten of God will be brought to Jesus and to his cross. It's the only place, dear friends. Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Salvation in no other name. And it is through the cross, through his sufferings, through his death, the giving of his life for the sins of his people, that indeed the experience and the blessing will come into the soul. That fountain of his precious blood, this virtue, its healing power, is able to cleanse and to heal from all sin and all defilement. And then the mercy, a heart indeed renewed, a heart brought into a new and a living way, a heart indeed to know the sweetness of peace and pardon in the soul, new life, spiritual, new affections, new love and new desires. And that was Paul, wasn't it? Or was there any like Jesus, dear friends? In respect of Paul, there was none like him. And I do believe it will be the truth with all newborn souls. There will be none like Jesus. That mercy that was shown to their in respect of their sins and iniquities. No. That mercy shown to sinners. None like Jesus. And the deliverance and the salvation wrought at Calvary. And then a new life, new desires. And then in the sweetness of adoption. Adoption. Whose I am. The children of God. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Or there will be a witness. But this glorious truth of adoption, our belonging unto God through Jesus, whose I am. Glorious truth then, dear friends, to have the seal of that upon our hearts, of what God has done in Christ for our poor souls, and what he has done is done forever. And so this is the truth, dear friends. And if we belong to God, then this is the truth. God is presiding and watching over and keeping his children. He will, dear friends. Whose I am and whom I serve. And this serving, dear friends, is a blessed and a glorious truth. First, it will be in this, that the Lord did inform Ananias in the beginning that he should go forth and preach his gospel to the Gentiles. And isn't that the mercy? No sooner as Paul indeed was converted and changed, he gave him a work to do. Commissioned him to a work to do. And then this truth, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I just mention this in serving the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. He was a faithful minister, wasn't he? He was faithful in doctrine, faithful in truth, faithful in the scriptures. He was faithful, whom I serve. And dear friend, it's a big word, faithful. May the Lord keep us faithful to him, and in particular, his word, truth and doctrine. Oh, let it be that will hold us to Jesus, you see. Let us hold forth the scriptures. This is the words of truth and life. And this is the word, the written, the incarnate word, the precious truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I serve. And yes, Paul was raised up to be a minister, and he was faithful in his ministry. He truly was one that preached Christ and him crucified. And the Lord taught him truly by his Spirit. And he was one also, as I say here, would be a praying man and praying over their circumstances here. And those who were with Paul, I believe he prayed for them, everyone. And his care for their souls. And this is a part of the ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ watching for the souls of the people. I know it is more particular with the pastors of a church, but ministers, and then also members of churches, or if we have been brought into the membership of Christ and one with him, one of that body of his people, indeed they will be praying over the souls of their children, their children's children, and those that gather with them. Faithful to God, faithful to his cause, to his truth, to the scriptures. This is the mercy, isn't it? Faithful. Whom I serve. And then also, whom I serve, dear friends, let us know what it is to continue to come to the ordinances of God's house. Whom I serve. You know, our time spent in worship and devotion, really, it's but very small in respect of that outward profession of his name. It's only but an hour or two. And just think of the days and the hours of it. Think of the hours of a day. Then multiply them by seven in the hours of the week. How very little time really it is that we spend before the Lord and at his feet. Oh, let us know what it is, dear friends, to take every opportunity, as Mary did, to come to the feet of Jesus. Yes, whom I serve. It's because, dear friends, thou hast delight in his name and delight in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is because thou art poor and needy and weak and helpless, and we need the Lord to come and to sustain us and to uphold us spiritually through his gospel. And we have many needs in the gospel. Whom I serve, come to the Lord's house. Dear friend, this is where the Lord is present with and in the midst of his people, and he delights to be there. Is it a delight to thy soul to be here, you see? This is the mercy, isn't it? To be where Jesus is found. He does come and dwell in the midst of his people. Let us seek, dear friends, to be attendant upon his word and in the ordinances of his house, as oft as it is ever possible. Put the Lord first, dear friends. Put him first. He saved thee and redeemed thee. Let him have the preeminence. You see, we have many things concerning us here below. We have to live lives naturally. We have to labour here below. But dear friends, let Jesus come first. His worship, devotion to him, whom I serve. And it will be honoured, dear friends. It will be honoured. And then we serve him at the throne of grace, don't we? Whom I serve. Oh, he was a praying man, Paul. Are we praying people? Do we know, dear friends, at mercy's door? Do we know that sweet access to God the Father through Jesus? It's through the rent veil of his flesh, dear friends, that we have that sweet access unto God the Father, and we can communicate to him. Do we serve him by prayer and supplication? I'm not just speaking the Lord's house. Yes, come to the Lord's house, come to the prayer meetings. But dear friends, our lives, is it a life at the throne of grace and everything that concerns us, the morning and the evening sacrifices, you see, whom I serve. It's a devotion to God, and it's so honouring to him, glorifying to him, that we come to him as a poor, needy people, and we are dependent upon him for everything, dear friends. Our first hymn declared that. We're so dependent upon him. And then in the times of our needs and troubles and trials, dear friend, we must know the throne of grace. We can't find our own way through our own troubles and trials, dear friends. No, it will be disastrous to do so. We have to come to the Lord, commit prayerfully everything to him and wait upon him with patience, and let the Lord appear for us. It's the prayers that will come forth from a true and a sincere heart, dear friends. I thank the Lord that he has answered my prayers. It's a waiting upon him, and there are yet those things that I've committed to him. But I know that he has heard my prayers, and I wait for him, whom I serve. And then there's a serving the Lord, dear friends, in faith. We will not forget the gifts of the Spirit. Faith. It's a faith upon him, living by faith upon him, entrusting everything to him. And in particular of this circumstance here, entrusting everything into his hands. Oh, he that never makes a mistake, dear friends. He that knows all about us. And he who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Yes, ready to show mercy and compassion. Faith. Faith in the Lord. Faith in him. And it's living by faith. The life that I now live, in the flesh I live, by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith, you see. And then there is another grace which I do believe most important. And that is the fear of the Lord in our hearts. That fear of the Lord which will hold us to him. Enable us to cleave to him, because it reverences him, it honours him as our God. And it's something, dear friends, that will draw us to him continually. It was the faith that the Lord revealed, I believe, in Jeremiah 32. And I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. And I do believe it's that fear in the heart, dear friends, that will hold us to him. It will always give respect to him, that we're his children and we belong to him, as we've mentioned. And you see, it is a fear, dear friends, that will help us to follow him in all his ways. It's a fear that's worked by love, you see. The fear of our God in our hearts. Oh, may it be so with every one of us. And then his Spirit, dear friends, whom I serve. Oh, we do need, dear friends, the quickening, the enlightening of the Spirit of the Lord. And it's that part brought into a new and a living way. You see, new desires and affections, the Spirit of the Lord. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We want to know it. We want to know that. The Spirit of the Lord. It is a Spirit, dear friends, that will always incline us to him. The Spirit that will bring us continually before him, to seek him and to serve him. And in all our trying circumstances here below, if the Spirit of the Lord is in us, we will immediately run to him. We will, for his care, for his keeping, for his word towards us. The Spirit of the Lord in us is a great blessing. But I don't want to pass by. I just need to come to the latter part of the text. Time is going. All sufficient grace. Paul understood that, whom I serve. And there was that thorn in the flesh, dear friends. It was a messenger of Satan. He'd had it for 14 years when he spoke about it to the church at Corinth. He'd had it for 14 years, but he found it all sufficient. And in this way, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Isn't that the blessing? Yes, the times that it was troubled and disturbed about that thorn in the flesh, it would be something connected with sin, and yet where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. All sufficient grace. Oh, that grace, dear friends, in the Lord Jesus Christ, all sufficient grace. It's a blessing to the soul. And he giveth more grace if we need it. He giveth more grace. Grace will help us to be resigned, humbled under his mighty hand. Grace. Whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. You know, even the greatest of us, dear friends, yes, we fear. Abraham feared when he returned from the battle of the kings, the four kings. Fear not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That is the truth, isn't it? I am thy shield. Fear not, Paul. Poor Jacob, in respect of Esau coming forth, he feared, dear friends, came with an army, as it were, armed against him. We do fear, dear friend, but he came to the Lord, and the Lord drew near to him. David, fleeing to Achish, king of Gath, and then all the princes of the Philistines drew near. Is not this, they knew that Saul had slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. Oh, he feared greatly. Before that host, they knew all about him. Yes, fears. Oh, the Lord's dear people do fear. But what a mercy it is, dear friends. This calamity that had come upon the ship, and those things in providence. What a great mercy it is. We have some words of comfort in the scriptures in respect of these things. Is the truth and the blessing. I quoted a little earlier, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Well, this is literal, isn't it? All the trouble in these waters and the ship, as it were, going down, lost at sea, you see? And then this truth, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And that word was fulfilled here, wasn't it? Fear not, Paul. I will be with thee. Doesn't mean to say, dear friends, that he may suddenly come and every matter will be cleared up in a moment. No, but I will be with thee. That is the comfort. And he was going forth, dear friends, in the truth of the word. His promise, fear not, Paul. And dear friends, it's likewise with us in our troubles. Dear friends, fear not, I am with thee. He will bring us through, dear friends. Sovereign will, his power, and he's able to do it. Fear not, Paul. I don't know what might be in your path today, dear friends. But fear not. I will be with thee. He will uphold his people. He will keep them. Preserve them. And he did do here. And then this truth. Lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Dear friends, isn't that? It isn't unusual, is it, that for the sake of Paul, or for the sake of one single soul, the Lord may give all just for that one soul. I do believe, though, that Paul prayed in respect of all these that were on board. And this is the mercy, isn't it? I thought of the gospel. It says here that the Lord had given them all to Paul. And in the preaching of the gospel, the proclaiming of the gospel, they're called saviors. The last word in Obadiah, if you read it, and he shall send forth saviors. And it doesn't mean to say that there's anything in Paul or anything in any of his ministers, absolutely not. But he would send forth saviors. And those saviors, the salvation of God is preached, dear friend. And saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. These are the ministers of the gospel raised up. And this is the blessing that is here. I thought of this, a type of this, that they were all given into the hands of Paul, but the gospel is preached today. And dear friends, may it be that we shall be able to take knowledge of this great salvation that is preached today in Jesus. And as we began with this, that Paul had begotten Onesimus, and that is the blessing that is in the gospel preached and proclaimed, isn't it? He gave them all into the hands of Paul. Not one of them should be lost. Not one of their hairs should fall to the ground. No. And this is the truth of the gospel. A full and free salvation for sinners, dear friends. It is preached today. And what a mercy it is that the Lord will use his servants, give sinners into his hands as it may be. But not anything of the creature, not anything of the minister. It is Christ and Christ alone, dear friends. It is revealed and manifest to be the Saviour of sinners. And the work is grace. And so this is the blessing. I just saw this as a type here. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. May the Lord give you your souls to the ministers of the gospel. Not anything of the minister, but the preaching of the word through them, you see, is the blessing, isn't it? And then brought into how we began, begotten, whose I am. Well, our time is gone. May the Lord bless these few remarks. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £695, and on Monday for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund, £1,006.50, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Robert Field, who is also expected to preach on Tuesday evening. God willing, Mr. Jabez Rupp will preach next Lord's Day. And the members will be asked to stay behind after the prayer meeting tomorrow evening for a very few minutes. Let us close with hymn 735. Oh, the happiness arising from the life of grace within, when the soul is realizing conquests over hell and sin. Happy moments, heavenly joys on earth begin. Hymn 735.
may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.